This is Pastor Jones, Humility 3. When you talked about practicing humility, what really touched my heart was when you spoke about two people doing the same things, because that is when you tend to envy and seriously compare yourselves to them. Now, generally at the office, I do not have a chance to compare myself with others because I am simply too busy. However, about a month ago, it just happened that most of my coworkers had to do the same job as I did. So when our progress reports came out, I immediately looked to see how all the others were doing compared to myself, whether or not they had done more or less than I. So I started comparing myself to them. And one day, a coworker did more than I did, and I felt very uncomfortable. In reality, I had a lot of love for this coworker, but I just had no way of confronting this awkward feeling. My inner self had pride and envy sitting on the throne for a long time, because I had been at the company for a very long time, and I thought I could do not only more things, but better than all the others. However, while driving in the car, I came to realize and identify that this was the spirit of pride in me. So while in the car, I started to rebuke the spirit, saying, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Get out." And I would stomp my left foot on the clutch. "Get out, spirit. Stomp on the clutch." Now, I did not understand what this would actually really do for me and my spirit, but I was willing to obey because I knew I had the sin of pride. When I arrived at church, I asked my brother, "How are you?" He replied that he is doing wonderful and that the Lord has been fulfilling him. "God's grace is amazing," he said. When I heard him say that, I thought to myself, this brother who just started walking with the Lord gets to experience this kind of joy, this kind of grace? It just made me feel very uncomfortable. So I immediately asked the Lord, "Lord, why would I have these kinds of thoughts? Because I love this brother. But I know that this was my inner self's pride, my old self, leaving no room for others to be better than me, with the idea of how come this person gets to experience such delights, but not me." This brought me back to a sermon where Sister John talked about two spirits, one of pride and the other of comparison. I am very much like this person. So when I was at the front, I asked the Lord to help me with my sinful nature of pride, because it often reared its head in my life, that through myself, I was not able to do anything about it. That is to say, I asked the Lord for His grace to identify and overcome the sin of pride in comparison. I kept asking the Lord, and it felt like the Lord's Spirit fell upon me, because for the first time, I was overcome with tears for my pride. The Spirit swept me up, and I was looking at myself, allowing me to see the moment when I first talked with the brother. I could see that my face was smiling, yet inside I was filled with pride. The Lord then removed my mask of smiles to reveal the ugliness beneath. Brothers and sisters, I had a real scare at that moment. I now believe that I saw a spirit, the spirit of pride. How could I have such a dirty thing in me? So after our praying, I went back to speak to that brother. This time there was no motive nor pridefulness. I felt like there was no pressure or condemnation, and I realized that this was truly through the grace of God. We should wholeheartedly obey and give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Tim, for your testimony. And if anyone else has any more testimonies, we welcome you to give them next week. So as Brother Yutun just mentioned, he obediently prayed and rebuked the spirit, even with physical motion. And this is very important as it demonstrates our willingness to come before the Lord for His grace. As we continue to bring our burdens and place them before Him, He will work on us. Nothing is through our own abilities, but through our cries for Him to work in our lives. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, ESV. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now when the Lord speaks of the poor in spirit, He is talking about one's own humility, totally void of anything, poor, no comparison, no pride, because they are blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now this is the entire opposite of the Laodicean church in Revelation, where they were the ones who said they are rich and have need of nothing. Totally the opposite of somebody who is poor in spirit. Those who are poor in spirit love pain. Now let me explain. Just like Yuten, when he prayed about his pride and the pains that it had caused him, he humbled himself before the Lord and he became poor in spirit. It was only then did he realize that he had the spirit of pride, which is so very ugly and scary. Now, a lot of people can follow the Lord for a long time, but have never asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what a poor spirit is. You can only have a poor spirit and then become gentle, because true gentleness originates from a poor spirit. The poor spirit also produces a longing for the Lord. If you do not have a longing in yourself, it's often because you're already filled with pride. For example, I am always better than someone else. Or I already am longing for the Lord more than anyone else. These will separate us from heaven's will. We are not humble when we say those things. You will notice that these are all keys to entering the kingdom. But the most important is humility with the poor spirit. So brothers and sisters, we see how important humility is in our lives. We need to pray and ask God, why do I not desire to be humble? Why do I just listen and learn but not put it into practice? Lord, please let my brothers and sisters not just hear more knowledge about humility, but let them truly recognize their poorness in spirit and their need for more pain in their lives. Because this is very unnatural for any worldly person to desire pain or ask to be humble and gentle. However, you might encounter someone who is soft-spoken, but that can be due to their upbringing. Humility is an attribute of the Father. It is not an outward expression, but an inward life. We need to pray and have the Lord give us a breakthrough in our lives to truly attain this, because it is a gift given by the Lord. Now, some people are naturally shy and will hide in the back of the room. Others are worried about what other people might think about them, so they tend not to stand out. This is not humility because they are filled with pride. A truly humble person has no self. They do not care about what others think about them. They are sure of themselves and who they are while seeking the Lord. What pleases the Lord? Let me seek that and work towards it. Now Jesus, while here on earth, gave us the best example of humbleness. Even though he was the Son of God, he was the poorest of the poor in spirit, yet still seeking the Lord's path, saying that if the Father did not tell him to do it, he could not do anything. He did only what the Father told him to do. His humble life was linked with the Father in every aspect. 2 weeks ago, we also talked about the most important attribute in heaven being humility. The greatest in heaven are those who are the most humble and willing to serve. Last Tuesday in Burlingame, there was a small house group that spoke about inner life and how it should put it to practice. There were a few sisters who invited the small house group to their house for dinner. The sisters really displayed their willingness to serve. While at the dinner, they were constantly saying, "Can I help you with this? Or can I get you more food?" I told a brother that there are a lot of women who sit with Jesus in heaven. Now this reminded me of Luke chapter 8, where Jesus and the 12 apostles were traveling around spreading the gospel, and behind them were women supporting them out of their own means. He replied, "No wonder why around the throne of heaven there are so many women. They are all humbly willing to serve others." The people who will be sitting on the right and left side of the Lord are those who are humble and with a servant's heart. Now let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, ESV. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." You must be self-abased, which is totally different from having an inferiority complex, and that is humility. If you enjoy success, being relied upon, and wanting to sit close to the Lord, there is but one road to take, and that is to be humble under God's mighty hand. Because in due time, He is the one that will exalt you. This reminds me of a couple of stories in the Bible that exemplifies humility under God's mighty hand. Let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15 to 23, ESV. "Then Nathan went to his house, and the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted, and went in and lay all night on the ground. and the elders of his house stood beside him, to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How can we say to him, 'The child is dead'? He may do himself some harm." But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" They said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house, and when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." When his son was still living, David fasted for 7 days. It wouldn't get off the ground. But verse 20 says, "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house, and when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate." This is living under the Lord's hand. What would you do if you were David? Most likely beg on behalf of the child while he was sick. But what about when the child dies? Many would say that they do not believe in the Lord anymore, or doubt God, saying, "Did you not see me fasting and praying? Could you, with your infinite power, just have simply saved this child? Did you not see me grieving? Therefore, I no longer believe in you, and will no longer worship or praise you." This is a spirit of pride, brothers and sisters. Who are we that we should command the Creator God and have him do our bidding? That is placing ourselves on a higher pedestal, a higher throne than him. But this is not what David did. David was willing to pour himself before the Lord on behalf of his dying son. He stayed intimately close to the Lord throughout the whole process, that even when the Lord chose to take his son, he graciously accepted it. But David did something else that was amazing. He got up, he ate a meal, and then he entered the house of the Lord, and there he praised and worshipped him. Now this is truly a humble life that is wholeheartedly reliant on the Lord, that even if the Lord does not permit it, I can still accept it and continue to praise and worship him. Now I find that there are many Christians who, when encountered with hardships, will argue with the Lord. This is someone who is too prideful. Now when I hear some brothers and sisters say, "I argue with the Lord," my immediate reaction is, "Wow, how can you dare to argue with the Lord? After so many years of following Christ, how can you not continue to obey him when you encounter choppy waters?" When the Lord allows us to go through hard times, we still need to remember to obey and praise him. One of my old counselors crushed her own child in her sleep, but she still continues to serve and obey the Lord. Another example would be that there is a pastor who had a child born with a cerebrovascular disease. Yet the pastor and wife never complained to the Lord. Never did they say, "Lord, we serve you. Why did you give us this child?" Never did they blame the child, but rather they raised her with loving kindness and patience. They were always encouraging the young child, saying that God created you whole and wants you to stand for him, for he has his will for you. This child eventually started walking, washing her face, brushing her teeth, and living a normal life. Eventually she went to school and would get bullied by her classmates, but her parents constantly reminded her that she was blessed, and that she must bless these children, because in their lives they do not know nor have the Father's love. So bless them and pray for them, so that the Lord might enter into their lives and they learn of his love. Even though this child grew up being bullied, She had no bitterness at all because of it. And you know, a lot of kids who grow up being bullied will become self-conscious or grow bitterness towards others, but not this child. She was so secure in her own relationship with the Father and was always encouraged to bless others. She grew up to be a very, very healthy child. She would later get her PhD at UCLA in art. Her artwork was full of optimism and beauty. There was no pessimism at all. In fact, she could just have looked in the mirror and felt down. Why? Because her mouth was crooked. She had a stutter. But she did not focus on her own self-consciousness, her own problems. Her inner life was filled with so much joy it radiated outwards and it manifested in her speech too. She eventually would become a counselor, focusing on people and families that had inner pains. She would listen and chat with them and the people would receive healing. Why? Because she had gone through this bitterness. Others looked at her and could no longer complain about their hardships. God used her to bring peace and encouragement to many others, people who were healthy. The sister's inner life was truly filled with humility because her parents were under God's mighty hand. They did not complain about their situation, but rather accepted it and said, "I will worship and I will serve because you are worthy," and asked the Lord to guide them. Let us take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25-26, ESV. Then the king said to Zadok, "Carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and let me see both it and his dwelling place. But if he says, 'I have no pleasure in you,' behold, here I am. Let him do to me what seems good to him." This is an amazing verse because here David is letting go of himself. He is not continually searching for praise from others, but rather he is wholeheartedly seeking the Lord and his counsel. Some people, when they are sick, they will run to the pastors asking them for prayers. But have they asked the Lord? Because without the Lord, even if all the people pray for you, it will have no effect. Others seek blessings from as many people as possible, asking for laying of hands. But someone who is truly humble and knows the Lord regardless of where they are or who is with them, they are the ones who are truly filled with the Spirit. Because blessings are not obtained through works, but rather obtained through the relationship with the Lord, that you are doing things in His will that pleases Him. So a humble person places himself under God's hand and is satisfied. As Andrew Murray said, a humble person isn't what I can bring before the Lord or what He can do for me. A truly humble person is satisfied with whatever circumstance they find themselves in. They let God be their all. Oftentimes it is our old self that prevent the Lord from working on us, especially when it comes to pride, because someone who is prideful is not secure in who they are. But when we are filled with the humble spirit and place our lives in His hands, we will have no fear. No fear of people's judgment, because I am in God's hands. So brothers and sisters, if you are often worried about what others might think of you, or you find yourself constantly trying to explain to others protecting your own position, that might be because you are a bit too prideful. A humble person knows they're standing here on earth, as all things are from the Lord. They should praise and worship Him, bringing them into a true poorness of spirit. This will give us confidence. Now David was truly a man after God's own heart. He was a humble man who lived under God's hand, so he was never fierce nor confrontational with the Lord, especially when his own life was in danger, like when he was pursued or going to war. This is when people want the ark normally to be with them, just like the Israelites. They normally did not seek the Lord and his presence, but during the war, they brought out the ark thinking that the Lord would somehow protect them because of it. But did it have any effect? No. We need to seek the joy of the Lord on a normal basis because it produces confidence and a type of bliss that only the Lord provides, that we are in His hands and He delights in us. So humility is displayed as we obey Him under His powerful hand. Now a lot of people don't obey. They rather fight. It's either you or me, that kind of mentality. This is not a person who is humble or follows God's will, because if you are secure in the Lord, who can harm you? Let us take a look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 8-11, ESV. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. Now this is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. We're going to follow this up with Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 15, ESV. The Lord said to Abram, "After Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever." Now, even though Lot came out with Abram, it was always Abram who was yielding to Lot. If you took a look at all the lands that were offered, you could clearly see how amazing the Jordan Valley was. Yet Abram was not afraid to yield to Lot. He didn't say, "What will happen if Lot chose that first?" But rather, he was willing to let go. Now Lot was a confrontational person who was willing to take. But everything on earth is temporary. He thought Abram was dumb for letting go of the best land. But the Lord said to Abram, that all the land that he sees, he will give to him and his offsprings forever. This was an amazing display of humility from Abram, showing that he was willing to let go of his life and place it entirely into the Lord's hands, knowing that there was nothing better outside of God's will. That is why he was not afraid to let others pick first. To the worldly, it looks like he gave away the best piece of land, but the Lord had plans that we could not have imagined. He gave Abram even more and better blessings. This is humility, brothers and sisters. Are you daring enough to do this? To be humble under the Lord's mighty hands, knowing that all things are in His? To let go, knowing that the Lord controls all things. So humility is a blessing and enjoyment of all things given to us by the Lord, that I accept all things that He has provided me. A pivot of our hearts to obey Him with all of our heart. Even though Lot took the most beautiful land, it was only temporary. It was later all ravaged by fire. But Abram's land was a true gift, a blessing from the Lord that was passed down through his descendants. It's truly a blessing to know humility and to practice it, brothers and sisters. And letting go is so very important. We have some parents that have created a lot of wounds between their children and them because they just couldn't let go. They had all these expectations and wants for their children, such as becoming a doctor. I know a person just like this. Their parents were always trying to have their child become a doctor, but this was never the child's passion. So after graduating from medical school and becoming more mature, he finally was brave enough to resist his parents. He went back to school to learn what he desired, and that was art. His parents not only wasted their own time and energy, but also harmed the child by wasting so much of the child's own time. The parents just wanted to raise him as a doctor with a strong music background, but the boy never had any desire for this. He enjoyed art, but his parents felt like this was a worthless idea. An artist was not a prestigious job, nor was it a good paying job. But brothers and sisters, are you willing to let go? Because God gives us interests, and to help bring it out is often the most correct path. If someone enjoys drawing, that is because God gave that person their love for drawing. And as they do the things they delight in, well, we will oftentimes see the Lord's glory in their work. But parents oftentimes can't let go. They want their children to become prestigious or wealthy individuals. They want to see their children as doctors, scientists, lawyers, or musicians. And by doing this, they often destroy their children's own desires. Their most important years become filled with pain, along with resentment towards their parents. A lot of mothers say that they are easily riled up around the piano, because the mother wants to have their children learn piano, but the child does not want to. So when the child plays something incorrectly and gets frustrated and start pounding on the piano, it also riles up the mothers, and they begin to raise their voices. So many mothers that I know of will put up scriptures reminding themselves to be humble and gentle around the piano. But let's not forget the reason for teaching our children. Because kids can learn a lot of different things, but when they are grown, married, and out of the house, how much will that be of use to them? Maybe not even a single thing will be of use to them. It is so important to teach them the inner life, the glory and grace of our Lord. Especially here in the Bay Area, our parents will compare with others, saying that my child is attending this course or going to this camp, busily ferrying their child to and fro from course to course. But are we willing to put everything down? Because all we are doing is putting more pressure and bringing more pain to their lives. And what is the purpose for all this learning? We have already stated that this whole world belongs to the enemy, Satan. He can make us believe we need to be busy so we can become so busy and forget why we are so busy. Parents become busy, getting frustrated and angry, and it affects their children, also making them frustrated and angry. What is the purpose? Only some quiet time with the Lord can realign ourselves and figure out what we are busying ourselves for. We need to be willing to let go. Of course, there are parents who guide their children into music, but they are wanting that one day their child can serve the Lord. This is different. It's not just, did you finish your homework today, or did you practice today? But if you as a parent are coming at this from a kingdom perspective, you wouldn't just be focused on the techniques of the trade, but their inner life needs as well. I have also noticed that there are many kids that can play piano. They can play sheet music very well, but they aren't able to play worship music, nor do they want to serve the Lord. This is something that we parents need to cultivate, to teach our kids a desire and love of serving the Lord, that the most important thing that when they go to their music lessons, they should learn how to play chords and not just simply read sheet music all the time. They should want to practice and play for the Lord. Let's not forget why we are learning, to not lose sight of the Lord's humility. We spend so much time, so much money, but what is the most important purpose? This is totally different from what the world focuses on. Because you might be a doctorate with an amazing memory, but you could have a child that is slow in IQ. You might be a mother and father who are amazing at the piano and violin, but your child might have no love for music at all. We need to remember to stay under the mighty hand of God and to accept our children's own desires, their own uniqueness. Follow what the Lord gave him and help develop it rather than put them in your own mold. So let go. In Taipei, there is a mother who had a daughter in her 30s. This child was the only child, so she was extremely loved. But one day when she was nearing graduation, she out of the blue brought back a young man, saying that she wanted to marry this person. Now this young man was a drinker, a smoker, who played mahjong and had no good formal education. The child's mother, on the other hand, had already arranged a marriage for her. The young man she arranged was the mother's friend's son, who was from the same province as her. The young man was doing his doctorate in the United States, and the hope was that when he had finished, they would marry. But her mother never imagined something like this would happen, so she forbade her daughter from marrying her choice. Now this created a large rift between them, and the daughter spent more and more time out late. One night, the mother had a dream that she caught a huge fish and would not let go. The fish was her daughter, and the Lord told her to let go. So when she woke up, she knew what to do, but she felt so horrible. She said she felt like she was delivering her daughter into the pit of fire, but she needs to obey the Lord. And as she obeyed the Lord's will, she continued to love her daughter, not with the worldly love, but of godly love. That her daughter isn't hers, but belongs to the Lord. So she allowed her daughter to marry her choice. A short while after her daughter married, they received a letter from the young man in the U.S. He was diagnosed with blood cancer, and not long after, he passed. But the young man whom the daughter married ended up giving up drinking, smoking, playing mahjong, and he became extremely filial towards his mother-in-law. The main point isn't the outcome of this story showing how well the daughter ended up, or how the young man overcame his vices, but rather how the mother was able to let go and allow God to work in her life. So brothers and sisters, you need to let go, because there is only God. It was also very important that she used the kingdom's love, God's love. So brothers and sisters, even though we have been praying for humility, we need to obey and practice it, saying that, Lord, no matter what position or situation you put me in, I am here for you, and I will praise you, and I will follow in your will. That is humility. But if we can't do this and need to bend people to our will, we will miss the mark. You will be bound by the world, and humility will never come upon you. A good way of working towards this goal is to be thankful for the situation the Lord has put you in. Say, Lord, I thank you for the environment you have placed me in. Lord, I thank you for my children, even their dislikes of learning, or even if they dislike playing the piano. Lord, I thank you for my healthy children. Even if they do not like to learn this or play that, I am thankful for you have a plan for them. And we can't tell what they might become, because when they grow up, it is oftentimes far surpassing our own imaginations. We just need to let go and allow the Lord to work through us and on our children. Like a mother who gave a testimony whose eyes were opened, able to see that she was cute and even her own children were adorable. That is to say, we oftentimes are not obeying the Lord, and we get more frustrated and more pressured, filled with pride. A humble person is filled with joy. Like Jesus, while he was here on earth, he was teaching, and there were people who would not accept it, but he was still filled with joy. He didn't go around trying to force people to listen to him, or threaten fiery wrath on those who would not follow him. He simply allowed them to listen and make their own choices. Even when persecuted, he had inner peace and could instantly be joyous. This is true humility, living in God's will, filled with thanksgiving and humility, that with whatever the Lord puts before him, he can find peace and joy.